You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
I want to welcome this Easter weekend, everybody from all of our campuses, from Siena. It was so great to be with you at the Egg Drop, from Espanol, from Cypress, from downtown at the Loop. It's just awesome, even on webcast. It's great to get together on Easter to be able to celebrate. So I want us to do this all over our city. I'm going to say he's risen, and you're going to come back with he's risen indeed. And we just want to think about this being declared all over our city. You ready? Here we go. He is risen. That is an awesome declaration for us to declare all over our city. If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 28 is where we're going to be. So welcome, welcome, welcome all over our city. If you're first time with us, that's awesome. So glad. And then also in your weekly guide when you came in, we've got some notes in there. If you want to take those out and you can fill in some blanks as I teach here, and so that you could take that home and remember a few things as you're going along. There was a guy, a Turkish watch repairman, and I guess he spent most of his time looking at technical things and then looking at time tick away, just back it would go, and forward it would go, and time would just go away. So he decided that when he died, he was a little bit nervous that he would be buried alive. So he came up with a special grave that would have an 8-inch window in the top of his coffin. And then he had plans to put in a push-button electric button that he could press inside the grave, and it would ring an alarm bell in case he was buried alive. And then if he was buried alive, somehow he could press this button and it would go into the cemetery's guard room. He also said that he was going to have an electric light burning inside of his grave for 1 week. You'd be able to, isn't this spooky? You'd be able to look in and to see this guy laying there in the grave. And if he was buried alive, he could press a button and then everything would ring, and then they would come and say, "Oh, sorry, we thought you were dead. Come on out. Good thing you did this." Well, you know what's amazing is Jesus Christ didn't have any things that was like, I'm going to press a button and I'm going to get out. There was a stone that was there. There wasn't any easy access out. And he was buried in the tomb and he came alive again. He resurrected from the grave. It wasn't something that was just this anomaly. It was prophesied from days of old that God's son, Jesus Christ, death could not hold him. And that's what we're going to look at in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to see the resurrection story. And here's what's great for you and for me. By placing our faith in Jesus Christ, we don't have to wonder if we're going to get buried alive. Here's what we can know for sure. When we get buried, we'll be alive. And we'll be alive by the resurrection. It won't be because we pressed some button that rang a bell in the guard shack. It'll be because Jesus Christ lives inside of our hearts and inside of our souls, and he's redeemed us, and that's what it means to have faith in Christ. So that then when we die, we can resurrect. We can go with him to heaven because of his resurrection. So I want you to look at Matthew chapter 28. We're going to look at the first 7 verses, and then we're going to pick up the last couple verses up into verse 10 in just a few moments. Here's what it says. After the Sabbath, the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Now, just right there. You know, there's names you get in the Bibles. There's good names about, like, John was the one, the disciple who Jesus loved. How'd you like to be the other Mary? You know, I mean, that's kind of a lame one, don't you think? The other Mary, that's like your brother's, you know, sister, you know, kind of thing. You just don't have a name. Somebody just calls you the other Mary. Went to view the tomb, but she's got an important part in this. Verse 2. Suddenly, there was a violent earthquake. Why? Because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. So why did the earth shake? The earth shook because an angel of the Lord came from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his robe was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken. Now keep in mind, these are elite guards. This would be like Navy SEALs. The guards were so shaken from fear of him that they became like dead men. Verse 5, but the angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here." That's Easter right there. He's not here, for he has been resurrected just as he said. Underline in your Bible, just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Last verse for this section. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has been raised from the dead. In fact, circle this in your Bible, he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and you will see him there. Listen, I have told you. That's the resurrection story right there, just straight up, right down the middle, Matthew chapter 28. Now let's take it apart and let's look at this. When we look at this, here's what we can see. An angel descends from heaven. When this angel descends from heaven, he gets to earth, and earth shakes when an angel shows up. When heaven impacts earth, the earth begins to quiver. See, heaven has impacted humanity. It's made a difference in humanity. It's impacted humanity with an earthquake, with angels, and with life. So what happens in this? Here we have death, and it's not death, I'm going to ring a button and Jesus is going to come out of the grave. It's not a window looking up at heaven. It's heaven coming to earth. Heaven has already come to earth in Jesus Christ at Christmas. But now heaven comes to earth with an angel, and this angel comes, and the earth quakes and the earth shakes. The Navy SEALs, the elite of the Roman army, fall down in fear, but yet the women, the angel says, do not be fearful. And here is an angel giving an announcement. Do you know that angels announce important things throughout the scripture? Angels announced creation. Angels announced the giving of Moses' law. Angels announced Christmas. Angels announced in the book of Acts, the early church. Angels will announce the second coming of Christ. An angel sits here on the tomb with a stone rolled away. What an amazing thought. See, here's what happens. Heaven impacts earth. Heaven impacts humanity. And humanity changes. That's what's amazing about the cross of Christ. And about what God wants to do in your life and in my life. The stone is impossibly rolled away. The soldiers fall. See, the enemies of God fall in fear, but the people of God rise, and he says, do not be afraid to these ladies. Now, when you come to the resurrection, it's a life-changing place to think that there's a man that rose again from the grave. Not that he was accidentally buried alive. That's not what happened with Jesus. He was buried dead. He was buried crucified. Blood and water flowed from his side. He had been beaten, and he rose again from the grave. So in Siena and Cyprus and downtown and the Loop in Espanol, we go, wow, that's a miracle. Now, some of us come, though, with a little bit of a skeptical mind, and it's a good time to be a skeptic, to come to church on Easter. Because, I mean, to say somebody rose again from the grave, that's a big deal. And we got to kind of go, you know, are we sure? Let me give you just three things from this, what we just saw, that just three, I could give you 30, give you just three that show that the resurrection is true. Number one is this, prophecy. Did you see what it said when we read the scriptures? In the scriptures, it said, the Lord rose just as he said. Verse 6, for he is not here, he has been resurrected, just as he said. Prophecy, just as he said. Jesus said he would rise again. When did he say that? Well, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40. As Jonah was in the belly of a huge fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Son of Man, that's Jesus, and he's talking about himself, will be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights. Matthew 16, verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to point out to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, suffer many things, be killed, and raised again on the third day. Matthew 17, they will kill him, and on the third day he will raise up, is what he's declaring. And they were deeply distressed by this, his disciples. Matthew chapter 20, verse 19. And then they will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified, but he will resurrect on the third day. Jesus declared his resurrection. Now, could you even declare how you were going to die, and particularly that you were going to rise again? It's prophetic that he claimed it and said it would be. Amazing thought. Number two, it's personal. It's personal. A mere man can't predict his resurrection. Number two, it's personal. The tomb is empty. Come see for yourself. The angel says, he is not here. He's been crucified. Just as he has said in verse 6, come and see the place where he laid. I've been to this place where he is laid. And guess what? He's still not there. It's empty. And he says, come and see for yourself. And if you're skeptical, you're wondering in any way, I just give you this invitation to our church. Come and see. Come and see. Come for the next 6 weeks and see if God is real. 6 weeks of your life to determine the rest of eternity. It's not a bad deal. And ask God to show himself to you. He personally says, will you come and see? Come and see and let me show you. And number three, the women were the first witnesses. Now, ladies, no offense by any means to this at all, but women in this time period were not credible as witnesses. Now, you're very credible today as witnesses, no question. We believe. Women in that day, and so if somebody's writing a false biblical story, trying to get something across and lying about it, they would not write down that the women were the first persons at the tomb. They wouldn't have done that because they would have known that in that time period, in that framework of that culture, people would have thrown this story out just right there from the beginning. Ladies went to the tomb first, and then they came and told the men, out, false story. So we know that this is true. And we know here that it's true because it's prophesied, it's personal, come and see. And then here in this moment that if somebody's writing a false story, they sure wouldn't have put this down as the thing to try to get it out there as the false story. Now, it brings a point of attention, lady, to encourage you. The greatest thing that's ever happened for women's rights is Jesus Christ. Because here you are as invited as the first ones to see that he is not there in the tomb and then to declare to the rest of the disciples. That's a great high privilege, ladies. So know that Jesus lifts you high, high up. And any godly man respects a woman and honors her and protects her and takes care of her and all of those things. So we see that even in the scriptures here. So it's true. Now, there's other folks that would say, no, it's wrong. They'd say that they went to the wrong tomb. This theory was developed in 1907, just 1900 years late. But they said that they went to the wrong tomb. And so in running to the wrong tomb, if you were to have a child to be laid in the tomb, a friend to be laid in the tomb, are you going to run to the wrong place in the graveyard? No, it wasn't the wrong tomb. The second thing, some people will say this, and this is back to biblical days, that the disciples stole the body. Well, if they stole the body, why did the disciples all die a martyr's death? Peter was crucified upside down. Would you die a martyr's death for a lie? No, the disciples didn't steal the body. Last, some would say the swoon theory. This was developed in 1828. The swoon theory was that Jesus fainted. Oh, he was crucified on the cross. The Roman soldiers, that if they said he was dead and he was really alive, they would be killed. They got it wrong. He went into the tomb after beaten, after flogged, after crucified, after pierced, after a crown of thorns, and they laid him in the tomb, and he waited till nobody was around, and he rolled a stone away that weighed thousands of pounds and got past the Roman guards and then just hid out somewhere in Memphis with Elvis, and we never found him again. Now, that's the swoon theory, that he just snuck out of the tomb and nobody noticed. No one could produce the body because it was miraculous. Jesus is alive, and he's alive in this very moment right here. Heaven and earth collide. Let's look at verse 8 and see what continues on, 8 through 10. Heaven and humanity and earth collide. Verse 8, look at what it says. Says this, so departing quickly from the tomb, now watch this combination, with fear and great joy. Interesting combination, isn't it? These ladies are departing with what? With fear and great joy. They ran to tell the disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, so now Jesus is here. Jesus met them and said, good morning. That'd be great to hear that from Jesus. Good morning. Oh, how nice. They came up and took hold of his feet. And they worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there. Do you remember what it said earlier in the scriptures when we were reading? It says that they would go before him, that Jesus would go before them. And it says, let me find it here. Yes, verse 7. that it says going ahead of you. He is going ahead of you. Now he declares to them, I want you to go to Galilee and I'm going to meet you there. Here's what the great news is. Jesus meets them there. He's alive. He's resurrected and he meets them there and he says, I want you to know that I'm going to go ahead of you to Galilee. Here's what I want you to hear on this Easter weekend. The great news is Jesus is always going ahead of us. He's always going ahead of us. Jesus is in tomorrow. Jesus is in next week. Jesus is in next month. He is going ahead of you. Oh, what a great thing. But the journey of life has an interesting combination, doesn't it? Do you see what happened with these ladies? They were filled with fear and great joy. Fear and great joy. Those two things don't seem to go together, do they? But there's something beautiful when you get two things that don't seem to go together. Actually, they come together and they ignite into something wonderful called faith, fear, and great joy. Heaven come to earth and an angel comes and it comes and now the resurrection of Christ, death on the cross, but life on Easter, an amazing thought. Heaven of holiness of Jesus to humanity of sinfulness of me, and the two things that seem contradictory come together, but it makes all the difference in the world and it becomes something beautiful. The other day in our home, I was washing my hands, and so I got the little soap, and I pumped out some soap, and I washed my hands with it, and I looked at the soap because it smelled so good, and I was like, what is this soap? It was a combination. It was soap, and it said this, wild basil and mint. Wild basil and lime. That's what it was. Wild basil and lime. And I thought, this is what you put on like a piece of chicken is what you do. Why am I washing my hands with wild basil and lime? This is like, oh, this chicken is so good. What's on it? Wild basil and lime. So I started thinking, all these soaps have these things that come together that don't seem to make any sense. So I went to the store and I just stood there with my daughter and we started picking out some things. Soap, crisp cucumber and melon. Isn't that awesome? That's what you need. And you need crisp cucumber. It's very important, very important. You've got here now, coconut and warm ginger. How do you bottle a temperature? That's what I want to know. How do you bottle a temperature? Coconut and warm ginger, but somehow I've got this soap here that's there. Then we've got a little fancier. This one costs more. Oatmeal and almond, just what I want. Whenever I eat breakfast, sometimes I just get my oatmeal. I just run my hands through it. It's just awesome. Just get that. I get that smell all over me. I want to smell like a breakfast cereal all day long. Oatmeal and almond is what we've got here. Now we got this one here. This is actually a bath soap that you can make a bubble bath of ginger and clay. So I'm going to wash myself in dirt is what I'm going to do. Ginger and clay. So a mix of like sushi in the backyard, okay, is what I got going on here. Ginger and clay. Interesting combination. Then you go a little bit further along and you've got here jasmine tea and basil for some kind of Purell type stuff here. Vanilla and brown sugar, nothing better than a little bit of vanilla and brown sugar. And then I thought, you know what, this is kind of all chick stuff is what this is, okay? Like a lot of pretty things come together. And then I found this one. I thought, this is dude, because this is shampoo that's like 3-in-1. Body wash, shampoo, and conditioner. Because we don't want a lot of stuff as dudes. We just want it all done all at once, right? If we could figure out a way to shave with it too, we would do like 5-in-1, 6-in-1, we don't mind. But ladies, y'all like it kind of put out a little bit, you know, further out right here with all the things. So here's what we got. So we got all these different things here that are happening that we're looking for. These combinations that come together. But let me tell you what, this one in particular, this jasmine tea and basil. Now, I've never wanted to put a tea bag in my hands and rub it around, or basil. But it is the most beautiful smelling, non-masculine thing I've ever had on my hands. It's a gorgeous aroma. Two things that seem to not go together somehow come to bring cleansing and aroma that's spectacular. And I submit to you that the cross of Christ and Easter bring the aroma of Christ and the cleansing of your soul. And things that don't seem to go together, God crashes together. An angel with the earth and the stone rolls away. And so the ladies run to Jesus that says, good morning. And they cling to his feet and they worship. So in this Easter, I just want to bring something together for you. God can take your sin and he can take his holiness and smash them together, and his holiness will win in salvation. And he could take the cross of Christ with Roman soldiers and a stone rolled in front of it, and Jesus can rise again from the grave. Because really, you know what we're looking for? I found this soap on the shelf as well. Miracle oil is all this is what it's called. Miracle oil. And that's what Easter is, isn't it? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. Jesus has risen from the grave so that when you pass away, you don't have to have a window. You don't have to have a bell to the guard station. You can know with all confidence that when you lay in that coffin, you will be more alive than you've ever been because you've placed your faith in the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, so that you will rise again and spend eternity with him. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, we want you to know he died for you and he loves you. Oh, but I got such sin. I got such fear. Let God bring joy and holiness in that and make those two things come together to be something spectacular, miraculous, and place your faith in Jesus. And then you'll find Easter is about the resurrection of your heart. Not just a historical event. It's true. It really, really happened. Come and see and let Jesus change your life.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.